So I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, sure, he's standing in front of us as a rabbi. He was always going to be a rabbi. I know you're thinking that. And so I'm going to take you through a tour of some of my brief alternate careers before I ended up in the rabbinate. I had aspirations as a child to be a cook. I knew how to put the milk and the Nestle's Quick in the cup. The step that upended me, though, was when I decided to make hot chocolate. And I took the plastic cup and I put it on the stove. And my mother made it clear to me that I was not going to be a cook. So I turned to a career as a scientist. And as I recall, my first experiment was cutting the electric cord of a lamp that was on with a metal scissors. And it was decided that I was not going to be a scientist. And as I look over my fleeting alternate lives, I realize that what constantly upended me was fire. Were it not for fire, who knows where I could have gone in the culinary world or in the scientific realm. But instead, there was nothing left for me but religion. And then I come to this week's Parsha and I realize that at the heart of religion is fire. Because that's what we read this week in Tzav, that we are supposed to make an everlasting fire. The fire is supposed to burn and never go out. That's what we're told on the altar. Except that it's said two different ways. The first verse says bo, tukad bo, and the second says tukad al. In other words, one verse says you should make a fire on it, and the other says in it. In you, there should be a fire. And both of those ideas, that there should be an everlasting fire that you create in the world and an everlasting fire that you create inside yourself, in you, that you should, as Walter Pater used to tell his disciples, burn with a hard gem-like flame, that there should be inside of you something unquenchable. That's what the Parsha is about, and that's what faith is. In Hasidic thought, this is known as chit lahavut, which means being on fire, being filled with enthusiasm, having something that burns inside of you, which Martin Buber called the goblet of grace and the eternal key. That's what you need. Every step in your life that is of importance, that involves a critical choice, that decides what you will do, whom you will love, how you will walk through this world, if you do it cold, if you do it empty, if you do it in darkness, then you've not fulfilled the religious obligation. As the poet says, you should speak no cold word to any living thing. Instead, you should connect fire to fire, to kad bo. It should not only burn outside, but it should burn in you. The rabbis tell us that when Adam was created, he looked up and the sun warmed the world and he was happy, and then he and Eve saw the sun set behind the hills and it was dark for the first time in the world. And he was frightened because he thought the sun had gone away forever. And he didn't know what to do. And he prayed to God for help. And God told him to rub two stones together and create a fire. And he took two stones and he mashed them one against the other. And the stones were called darkness and death. And he took the tragedies, the difficulties, the darknesses of life, and out of them he made fire. He made something living. He made something warm. And the scholar Pinchas Pelli contrasts that with the Greek myth of Prometheus. Do you remember what Prometheus does? He goes to the heavens and he steals fire from the gods. But you see, says Pelli, in the Jewish tradition, fire is not stolen from the gods, it is a gift of gods. God hands us fire to warm our world, to lighten our lives, and to ignite our own hearts so that we live in the flame. And Adam and Eve warmed themselves by the fire until, miracle of miracles, the next morning, the sun rose again. This week, for the first time in 28 years, Jews get to recite a blessing called Birkat HaChama, the blessing of the sun. Every 28 years, according to the Jewish tradition, the sun returns to the exact position it was in when the world was created. That is at least according to Samuel in the Talmud, and what Jews have taken as a tradition ever since, which means that for 3 hours after daybreak, this Wednesday morning, you can say a blessing that you won't get to say, according to Jewish law, again for 28 years. Oseh ma'aseh bereishit. This also happens to be, by the way, the service for the firstborn, for the fasting of the firstborn. So here on Wednesday morning in the main sanctuary, we will have a service, and then we will go out to Pilate Plaza, and we will say Birkat HaChama, the blessing of the sun. But why do we bless the sun? Not because the sun is a god, but because God gave us the sun to warm and lighten our days. We bless the biggest gift of fire we are given, at least in our small corner of the universe. And by analogy, we bless not only the fire without, but the fire within. That which ignites us, which enables us to do the things in life which are difficult, enables us to believe, enables us to love, enables us to remember, enables us to create music and beauty and art. It's all connected to that fire inside of us. The French artist and novelist Jean Cocteau was once asked, what would he rescue from a burning house? And he said, the fire. And when I read that, I thought, there are two possibilities here. One is that he would take the fire away to save the things in the house, but I don't think that's what he meant. I think what he meant is, look, you have things in your house, but they're objects. They don't live. They don't need oxygen. They don't breathe. They're not the analogy for what it is that keeps you going. What he wanted was the fire, because he was an artist. That's what he would rescue. That's what was real. That's what lived. That's what he found inside of him. Not the statues, not the paintings, but the fire. And so when we bless Birkat HaChama, we remember that we have that fire all the time. We have a ner tamid, an eternal flame, which, by the way, and this is part of the celebration on Wednesday morning, we are converting here at Sinai Temple to a solar ner tamid. Our ner tamid will no longer be powered by electricity, but by the sun. And our flame will be part of God's flame. This message is exactly the message that we transmit to our children on Pesach. Because part of what makes a flame unique is that you can transfer it and you don't lose the original. And you shall love the Lord your God, the Shema says, and right after that it says, and you shall teach your children, because you can't teach them unless you have originally ignited that flame of love. And once you teach them, you don't know less, but they know more. One flame lights another, and another. And the flame doesn't go out It is a ner tamid, an eternal flame, because it begins inside of us, in the part of ourselves that is eternal, and touches another and another and another until the end of time. Abraham Joshua Heschel used to love to tell the story of the blacksmith's apprentice who went away to study because he couldn't quite get the art of being a blacksmith. And he studied and studied, and he came back to his master and he said, "I think I'm ready." And his master watched him and he said, "You know, you've learned everything but the essential thing. You know how to fashion the metal, you know how to bend and twist it to shapes and sizes and fit and measure, but," he said, "you don't know how to ignite a spark." And that, said Heschel, is the essential religious message. There are people who know all the words and they know the prayers and they know what to do, but they don't ignite a spark. And if you don't have the flame, then you can't pray, you don't really study, and you certainly can't teach. So on this Shabbat, when we are told in Parshat Tzav to light a flame, when for the first time in 28 years we're able to bless the sun, when we will light candles before the Pesach Seder, let's remember that Borei Me'orei Ha'esh, the blessing over the fire, at the beginning and the end of Shabbat, the Ner Tamid, the altar that burns, the sun, the flame inside, it's all an analogy for the fire that God has ignited in God's world. That sometimes you can see in the eyes of another, that you can feel in your heart, that you can absorb and transmit, that can go on from generation to generation, not only of those we see, but of those we remember. That kind of warmth, that kind of passion, that kind of love, it endures. And that's why, thousands of years later, this Wednesday night, we will once again bless the candles. We will once again teach our children. We will once again reenact Yitziat Mitzrayim and remember that God led us through the desert, cloud by day, and by night, a pillar of fire. Shabbat Shalom.